to open and share with you this story that John Sanford wrote in his wonderful book, The Kingdom Within. When I was a boy, we spent a month each summer in an old farmhouse in New Hampshire. The house was 150 years old when it first came into our family's hands and had never been modernized. My family was also short of money, and so for a long time we lived in the house quite simply, without the benefit of modern plumbing or electricity. Our water supply during those years was an old well that stood just outside the front door. The water from this well was unusually cold and pure and a joy to drink. And the well was remarkably never ran dry. And so even in the severest summer droughts, when other families were forced to resort to the lake for their drinking water, our old well faithfully yielded up its cool, clear water. But eventually the day came and the family fortunes turned, and they decided to modernize the house. Electricity, modern plumbing, running water were all installed. But this necessitated a modern well, and so an artesian well was drilled a few hundred feet from the house. No longer needed, the old well near the front door was sealed over to be kept in reserve should the occasion arise when, for some reason, the artesian well would not suffice. So things stood that way for years until one day, moved by curiosity and old loyalties, I determined to uncover the old well to inspect its condition. As I removed the cover, I fully expected to see the same dark, cool, moist depths I had known so well as a boy. But I was due for a shock, for the well was bone dry. It took many inquiries on our part to understand what had happened. A well of this kind is fed by hundreds of tiny underground rivulets along which seeps a constant supply of water. As water is drawn from the well, more water moves into it along the rivulets, keeping those tiny apertures open and clear. But when such a well is not used and the water is not regularly drawn, the tiny rivulets, they close up. And so our well, which had run without failing for so many years, was not dry because there was no water. It was dry because it had not been used. And so the human soul is like that old well. And what happened to that old well can also happen to our soul when the living water of God is not flowing through us. When we're not taking the time to sit in the inner sanctuary, when we're not taking the time to sit in the presence of the beloved, our well can dry up. And so we're in the seventh week of our fall program that we've called Birth 2012, Co-Creating a Planetary Shift. And we've been awakening ourselves to something new. We have been keeping our well always full throughout this program. And this series now, this emergent series, is leading us up to Birth 2012 on December 22nd. And that's when Barbara Marx Hubbard, who we're studying her book, Emergence, The Shift from Ego to Essence. This is our book that we've been studying for this seven-week fall program. And Barbara Marx Hubbard has designated December 22nd as a planetary birthday celebration. You know, birthing ourselves as universal humans, birthing a new consciousness. And so we're planning an event here for December 22nd. We don't have it totally finalized, but watch for details. But since we're in the seventh week of our program, I wanted to take a moment and kind of capsulize what we've been doing. I try to, every week, talk about where we've been the week before and the weeks before. And so I want to just today, because there's some of you I know who are here for the first time going, oh, last week of a seven-week series. Well, let's catch you up. Let's look at what we have talked about over these last 7 weeks. We started the series by entering the inner sanctuary. What that means is creating a field of readiness in which to awaken to the Beloved, creating that place, that safe place that we can expect something new. Then the second week was spent welcoming the Beloved. We created that space. Now we welcome the Beloved. And we are aware that within us there is this essential divine spiritual self, the Beloved, the Christ within, as we would say, in unity. And that second week we made the commitment to sitting in the presence of the Beloved for as long as possible, every day, filling our well up, if you will. The third week, we then spent, or we accepted this new identity, and we began the journey of coming home to ourselves, coming home to the Beloved, coming home to who we really are. And then during our fourth week, we spent it in union, uniting the human and the divine, uniting that humanity and divinity that is within us, and really opening ourselves to the joy of oneness with our true self, our divine self, the Christ within. Our fifth week, then, we made the shift, you know, shifting our identity. And we actually began to experience and step into that union of the human and divine, of our humanity and our divinity. And we're not there yet, but we're making the shift from ego to essence. Then co-creation was our theme last week. We talked about repatterning our lives, you know, looking less at the outer human existence, you know, the world out there that says life is so hard and nothing's working, to focusing more and more on that inner potential that is within each one of us, choosing to live in the kingdom of heaven and co-creating from essence. And so this week, our final week now, it's all about emergence, and we're fulfilling the promise as a universal humanity. We're beginning to really say yes to our essential divine self and emerging as a young universal human. Barbara Marks Hubbard, in her book Emergence, she writes, the transition between childhood and youth, because she's been looking at this process, this emergence process, as almost a biological birth, and we went through the infancy and the childhood, and we're now into youth. But the transition between childhood and youth is similar to the transition between infancy and childhood. It's not marked by a sudden shift, but a gradual unfolding. It occurs when we find our life purpose, what we are born to do. And we begin to create small communities or circles of partners and pioneering souls, beginning our larger work in the world. She goes on to say, we now reside as the essential self, ready to commit to action at a larger scale. This is the new hero's journey, and all emerging universal humans are on it. So whether you know it or not, you're on a journey. We're on a journey, the hero's journey, and we're emerging together as this universal human. And that's what Birth 2012 is kind of just the mark of. It's now. It's now. We have to do the shift now before it's too late. And so at this stage now of the emergence process, we are pretty secure in our identity. You know, we have made the shift from living less from our ego and living more from our essence. We've invited all of our local selves, that ego mind, into the inner sanctuary and immersed ourselves in the presence of the Beloved. We've repatterned our lives so that the outward manifestation is more and more a reflection of the inner knowing. And this is the pearl beyond price, isn't it? I mean, knowing that you are a unique expression of essence. You are a unique expression of your divine essential being, a co-creator of your own reality. Isn't that good to know? I don't know about you, but when I learned this in Unity, I thought, wow, I am a unique expression of essence, and I co-create my own reality. Now, that can be wonderful. There's good news and bad news. Good news is you create your own reality. The bad news is you create your own reality, right? There's no one to blame. There's no devil made me do it. You know, we don't believe in the devil in unity. And so you have no one to blame. But it's not about shame either. It's just knowing that you can co-create your own reality, and that's powerful. And you don't like what you see, you can co-create whatever you want. And so there's a higher power within each one of us. There's a higher power within you that will change your life. Jesus called this inner realm of consciousness the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. This realm of ever-expanding, ever-increasing good. And he said it's found within you. It's found in you. And the interesting thing is that this kingdom of heaven was the central theme of his message, but never once did he define it literally. Jesus was always saying the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he would go on to compare this kingdom with things that we could relate to, that, you know, that we could understand, like seeds and coins and leaven and my personal favorite, pearls. And Jesus one time told this parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So when he found this pearl of great value, he was willing to sell everything in order to have that pearl. And so when we live in this kingdom of heaven, it's all about awakening to our spiritual potential, awakening to the infinite possibilities that are all around us. It's about awakening to a new level of consciousness, new levels of consciousness. You know, each one of us has a pearl of great value within us. You know, our potential is enormous and our possibilities are unlimited. We just have to be willing to search for it, right? You just have to be willing to go out and look for it, to keep your mind open, to keep, looking. And, you know, we miss opportunities not because they're not there. We miss them because we just don't see them. You know, we don't have our eyes attuned to that. So we miss a whole bunch because we're not looking for it. We're not looking for it. We are equipped to have and to do everything and anything that we could ever dream of or desire. But what this parable is telling us is you've got to go and search for it. And you've got to be willing to do some work. But so many of us want so much for doing so little. Right? Have you ever been there? You want it all, but you're not willing to do the work for it. Or you want this wonderful, full, rich spiritual life, but you're not willing to sit in the inner sanctuary or do your meditation time. You know, what we're finding in this series is that in order to have the pearl of great value, you've got to do the inner work that's necessary. And so you must be willing to sit in the inner sanctuary. You must be willing to sit in the presence of the beloved. You must be willing to awaken to your true identity and make that shift from living less in your ego and living more from essence, and be willing to really understand that you co-create your own reality. You know, we must be willing to change our thoughts in order to change our consciousness, and you make the change from the inside out. You know, it's not by living out there that you do it. You change from the inside out. And so when you begin to feel yourself separating in consciousness from the beloved, from God, from your true self, then you must be willing to immediately change your thoughts and attitudes and your feelings. You must be willing to let go of fear and negativity that hold us back. You know, letting that go and stepping into what is it that you really want. Being willing to sell everything in order to purchase the pearl of great value to King Heaven, to the presence of the beloved. know, are you willing to do that? You know, we're not talking about ideas or about things here, material things here. We're talking about thoughts. You know, and the key here is to rule your own mind. That's where it comes down, is to be in charge of your own thoughts. You know, we're always buying, selling, and exchanging thoughts and feelings, aren't we? Have you ever heard the expression, it's flu season? Ever bought that idea? You know, we buy some really bizarre ideas. You know, I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm poor, I can't. You know, we've got to be willing to sell those ideas and replace them with the truth. And the truth is, I am whole and perfect. I am prosperous and creative. Let's say this together. I am whole and perfect. I am prosperous and creative, because that's the truth of who you are. And so we must be willing to buy the pearl of great value. We must own what it is that we want out pictured in our life. But so often we make decisions based on out there. You know, we look outside of ourselves to find the answers that are right within us. Sort of like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz goes searching for something that was in her backyard. And she has this great adventure and she comes right back home. The prodigal son, we talked about that last week, goes out and squanders everything but comes home. Again, you know, we're always doing that. We're kind of, it's like a 2-year-old, you know, going away from mom, coming back, going away, coming back, or a dog, you know, my wonderful little sugar. You know, she goes off, but she always comes back to see where's mom. Doesn't go too far away. But we're always coming back. We're always coming back to who we are. Because the truth is, the answers lie within us. And we need to be willing to sell everything in order to buy the truth that lies within us. And it's really important, according to this parable, it's very important that you own the treasure. We have to own the pearl. We have to own the truth. And we have to make a total commitment, 100%, to spending as much time as possible in the presence of the Beloved, loving all parts of ourselves, bringing everybody into the inner sanctuary. And we must be willing to choose to live in heaven, the kingdom of heaven, all the time, every moment. That's a choice that we make, because it's there that we co-create our own reality. We must be willing to express the Christ potential that is within us, that Christ essence, which is the truth of who we are, stepping into that and expressing it and knowing I am the Beloved. Let's say that together. I am the Beloved. You're it. You don't have to go looking for it. It's you. It found you. It's always found you. You might not have found it yet, but it's within you, knowing I am the Beloved. And, you know, you will never be right within yourself, and your soul will never feel satisfied until you do, until you know this. I am the Beloved. You've got to be willing to give everything away in order to have everything. That's what this parable is saying. You've got to be willing to sell everything in order to have the truth, the pearl that's already within you. And so Barbara writes in Emergence, and I'd like to end today and end our whole series with this. Only as this whole being can I fully express and manifest what I am called here to do. Only as this whole being. If the universal human incarnate is the goal right now, then I am forever liberated from seeking or grasping at anything, and my work will have a quality that truly serves others as it serves myself. And she goes on to say, and I love this, by accepting this state of wholeness as my purpose, I have taken a quantum leap. And so here's to quantum leaping for all of us. Here's to emerging as universal humans. Here's to co-creating a planetary shift. God bless you. Hope you had a great time in this series. I did. I certainly did. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so we're going to move now into our meditation time. And so I invite you to find that comfortable place where you can just kind of be. Be in the presence of the Beloved. And you might want to clear your lap and just really just open yourself up to the experience of the Beloved. And so as we begin our inward journey in this time of meditation, I invite you to close your eyes if they're not already closed. And I invite you to begin the process of moving inward to the inner sanctuary at the center of your being. That journey from head to heart. Paying attention to your breathing, to your heartbeat. Breathing into your heart and connecting to the love that is in your heart. With every beat of the heart. Breathing that love into your whole body. Breathing that love into your whole being. Relax, let go, and invite the presence, the Beloved, to make itself known to you in a deeper and more profound way than ever before. Just the desire begins the flood of spirit. And in all the billions of galaxies and solar systems, stars and planets, there is only one you. Only one you. No one else has your fingerprint, your voice print, your soul print. You were created as a unique child of God. You make a difference. You have a divine purpose. God has made you the very fabric of God itself for a great and wondrous purpose. You were created in God's image and likeness. You are the Beloved. You are whole. You are complete. You are whole and holy. And so let's begin to touch what lies beneath the names and the labels we've given ourselves. Let's listen to that still small voice that speaks to us in ways that we can understand. Let's be in touch with our true nature, our sacred, divine, essential self, our true self. As we sit in the presence of the Beloved, as we rest in the silence, let us remember who we are as we rest in the silence. And hear the divine, the presence of God, the Beloved within you saying, "You are my Beloved. You are the Beloved." And you get to fall in love with the Beloved that is your life. It's already here. It's right now. It's closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. It's your life. It's your joy. It's who and what you are. I am the Beloved. And for this knowing, we are eternally grateful. We let it be, and so it is. Thank you, God. Amen.